2002, prior to any reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti from CIA detainees. Reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's email communications. In July 2002, the CIA had obtained an email address believed to be associated with Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. As early as August 24, 2002, the CIA was collecting and tracking al-Kuwaiti's email activity. A cable from that day states that an email account associated with KSM intermediary Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti remained active in Karachi. On September 17, 2002, the CIA received reporting on al-Kuwaiti's email address from a detainee in the custody of a foreign government. The detainee reported that al-Kuwaiti shared an email address with Ammar al-Baluchi and that al-Kuwaiti was coordinating martyrdom operations. When KSM was captured on March 1, 2003, an email address associated with al-Kuwaiti was found on a laptop believed to be used by KSM. All of this information was acquired prior to any reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti from CIA detainees. A body of intelligence reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's involvement in operational attack planning with KSM, including targeting of the United States. On June 10, 2002, the CIA received reporting from a detainee in the custody of a foreign government indicating that Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was engaged in operational attack planning with KSM. On June 25, 2002, the CIA received reporting from another detainee in the custody of a foreign government, corroborating information that al-Kuwaiti was close with KSM, as well as reporting that al-Kuwaiti worked on secret operations with KSM prior to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. On August 9, 2002, the CIA had received reporting from a third detainee in the custody of a foreign government, indicating that Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was supporting KSM's operational attack planning targeting the United States. By October 20, 2002, the CIA had received reporting from a fourth detainee in the custody of a foreign government indicating that a known terrorist, Hassan Gul, received funding and instructions primarily from Abu Ahmad, a close associate of KSM. All of this information was acquired in 2002 prior to any reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti from CIA detainees. Significant corroborative reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's age, physical description, and family, including information the CIA would later cite as pivotal. In September 2001, the CIA received reporting on al-Kuwaiti's family that the CIA would later cite as pivotal in identifying al-Kuwaiti's true name. From January 2002 through October 2002, the CIA received significant corroborative reporting on al-Kuwaiti's age, physical appearance, and family from detainees held in the custody of foreign governments and the U.S. military. All of this information was acquired prior to any reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti from CIA detainees. Multiple reports on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's close association with UBL and his frequent travel to see UBL. As early as April 2002, CIA had signals intelligence linking a phone number associated with al-Kuwaiti with UBL's family, specifically al-Qaeda member Saad bin Laden. On June 5, 2002, the CIA received reporting from a detainee in the custody of a foreign government, indicating that Abu Ahmad was one of the three al-Qaeda-associated individuals, to include Saad bin Laden and KSM, who visited him. The detainee, Rida al-Nijjar, was a former UBL caretaker. On June 25, 2002, the CIA received reporting from another detainee in the custody of a foreign government, Riyad the facilitator, suggesting al-Kuwaiti may have served as courier for UBL. Riyad the facilitator highlighted that al-Kuwaiti was actively working in secret locations in Karachi, but traveled frequently to meet with Osama bin Laden. Months earlier, the CIA disseminated signals intelligence indicating that Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti and Riyad the Facilitator were in phone contact with each other. In August 2002, another detainee in the custody of a foreign government with known links to al-Kuwaiti, Abu Zabir al-Hawili, reported that al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden. All of this information was acquired in 2002, prior to any reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti from CIA detainees. Within a day of the UBL operation, the CIA began providing classified briefings to Congress on the overall operation and the intelligence that led to the raid and UBL's death. On May 2, 2011, CIA officials, including CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell, briefed the committee. A second briefing occurred on May 4, 2011, when CIA Director Leon Panetta and other CIA officials briefed both the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Armed Services Committee. Both of these briefings indicated that CIA detainee information and the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques played a substantial role in developing intelligence that led to the UBL operation. The testimony contained significant, inaccurate information. For example, in the May 2, 2011 briefing, the CIA informed the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence that, however, there remained one primary line of investigation that was proving the most difficult to run to ground, and that was the case of a courier named Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. Abu Ahmad had totally dropped off our radar in about the 2002-2003 timeframe after several detainees in our custody had highlighted him as a key facilitator for bin Laden. The information above is not fully congruent with CIA records. As described, the CIA was targeting Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to any reporting from CIA detainees. Al-Kuwaiti was identified as early as 2002 as an al-Qaeda member engaged in operational planning who traveled frequently to see UBL. No CIA detainee provided reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002. While CIA detainees eventually did provide some information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti beginning in the spring of 2003, the majority of the accurate intelligence acquired on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was collected outside of the CIA's detention and interrogation program, either from detainees not in CIA custody or from other intelligence sources and methods unrelated to detainees, to include human sources and foreign partners. The most accurate CIA detainee-related intelligence was obtained in early 2004 from a CIA detainee who had not yet been subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. That detainee, Hassan Ghul, listed Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti as one of the three individuals likely to be with UBL, stated that it was well known that UBL was always with Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, and described al-Kuwaiti as UBL's closest assistant, who likely handled all UBL's needs. The detainee further relayed that he believed UBL's security apparatus would be minimal and that the group likely lived in a house with a family somewhere in Pakistan. In the May 4, 2011 briefing, CIA Director Leon Panetta provided the following statement to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Armed Services Committee, which mirrored similar statements by a senior administration official in a White House press briefing from May 2, 2011. The detainee in the post-9/11 period flagged for us that there were individuals that provided direct support to bin Laden, and one of those identified was a courier who had the nickname Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. That was back in 2002. As previously detailed, no CIA detainees provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002. As such, for the statement to be accurate, it can only be a reference to detainees in foreign government custody who provided information in 2002. As noted, Prior to any reporting from CIA detainees, the CIA was targeting Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti to include al-Kuwaiti's phone number and email address. Further, prior to 2003, the CIA possessed a body of intelligence reporting linking Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti to KSM and UBL and to operational targeting of the United States, as well as reporting that Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden and traveled frequently to meet with Osama bin Laden. In the same May 4, 2011 briefing, a CIA officer elaborated on the previously provided statements and provided additional detail on how a couple of early detainees identified Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti as someone close to UBL. I think the clearest way to think about this is, in 2002, a couple of early detainees, Abu Zubaydah and an individual, Riyad the facilitator, talked about the activities of an Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. At this point, we don't have his true name, and they identify him as somebody involved with AQ and facilitation and some potential ties to bin Laden. This testimony is inaccurate. There are no CIA records of Abu Zubaydah discussing Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002. The first reference to Abu Zubaydah providing information related to al-Kuwaiti is on July 7, 2003, when Abu Zubaydah denied knowing the name. CIA records indicate that the information in 2002 that the CIA has represented as the initial lead information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was not obtained from the CIA's detention and interrogation program, but was collected by the CIA from other intelligence sources, including from detainees in foreign government custody. Riyad, the facilitator, provided substantial information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002, including information suggesting al-Kuwaiti may have served as a courier, as al-Kuwaiti reportedly traveled frequently to see UBL. Consistent with the testimony, CIA records indicate that the information provided by Riyad the facilitator was important information. However, Riyad the facilitator was not in CIA custody in 2002, but was in the custody of a foreign government. Riyad the facilitator was not transferred to CIA custody until January, redacted, 2004. As noted, in 2002, the CIA received additional reporting from another detainee in the custody of a foreign government, Abu Zubair al-Haili, that Ahmed al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden. At the May 4, 2011 briefing, a senator asked, "I guess what we're trying to get at here, or certainly I am, was any of this information obtained through enhanced interrogation measures?" A CIA officer replied, "Senator, these individuals were in our program and were subject to some form of enhanced interrogation. Because of the time involved and the relationship to the information and the fact that I'm not a specialist on that program, I would ask that you allow us to come back to you with some detail." The information above is not fully congruent with CIA records. As is detailed in the Intelligence Chronology in Volume 2, the vast majority of the intelligence acquired on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was originally acquired from sources unrelated to the CIA's detention and interrogation program, and the most accurate information acquired from a CIA detainee was provided prior to the CIA subjecting the detainee to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. As detailed in CIA records and acknowledged by the CIA in testimony, information from CIA detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques to include CIA detainees who had clear links to Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti based on a large body of intelligence reporting provided fabricated, inconsistent, and generally unreliable information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti throughout their detention. At the May 4, 2011 briefing, a senator asked, "Of the people that you talked about as detainees that were interrogated, which of those were waterboarded, and did they provide unique intelligence in order to make this whole mission possible?" CIA Director Panetta responded, "I want to be able to get back to you with specifics, but right now, we think there were about 12 detainees that were interviewed, and about 3 of them were probably subject to the waterboarding process." Now, what came from those interviews, how important was it? I really do not want to stress the fact that we had a lot of streams of intelligence here that kind of tipped us off there. But we had imagery. We had assets on the ground. We had information that came from a number of directions in order to piece this together. But clearly, the tip-off on the couriers came from those interviews.
Note, 2193. CIA records indicate that none of the 3 CIA detainees known to have been subjected by the CIA to the waterboard interrogation technique provided unique intelligence on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. To the contrary, there is significant evidence that 2 of the 3 detainees, Abu Zubaydah and KSM, failed to provide accurate information likely known to them about Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti and/or fabricated information to protect al-Kuwaiti. The 3rd CIA detainee known to have been subjected to the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique, Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, provided no information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti.
As previously detailed, the tip-off on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002 did not come from the interrogation of CIA detainees and was obtained prior to any CIA detainee reporting. The CIA was already targeting Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti and collecting intelligence on at least 1 phone number and an email address associated with al-Kuwaiti in 2002. No CIA detainee provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in 2002, and prior to receiving any information from CIA detainees, the CIA possessed a body of intelligence reporting linking Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti to KSM and UBL and to operational targeting of the United States, as well as reporting that Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden and traveled frequently to meet with Osama bin Laden. The day after the classified briefing, on May 5, 2011, the CIA provided the committee with a 6-page chart entitled Detainee Reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, which accompanied a 1-page document compiled by the CIA's CTC entitled Background Detainee Information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti.
Note, 2199. Senator McCain and other members requested information on the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in the UBL operation at the previous day's hearing, and the CIA committed to provide additional information to the members. Senator McCain, I'm also interested in this whole issue of the enhanced interrogation, what role it played. Those who want to justify torture seem to have grabbed hold of this as some justification for our gross violation of the Geneva Conventions to which we are signatory. I'd be very interested in having that issue clarified. I think it's really important.
In total, the CIA chart identifies 25 mid-value and high-value detainees who discussed Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti's long-time relationship in al-Qaeda and his historic role as courier for Osama bin Laden. The 25 detainees are divided into 2 categories. The chart prominently lists 12 detainees, all identified as having been in CIA custody, who linked Abu Ahmad to bin Laden, and the CIA labeled as the most important Tier 1 information. The document states that 9 of the 12, 9 out of 12, 75%, CIA detainees providing Tier 1 information were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and that of those 9 detainees, 2 out of 9, 20%, were subjected to the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique. The chart then includes a list of 13 detainees who provided general information on Abu Ahmad, labeled as Tier 2 information. The CIA document states that 4 of the 13, 4 out of 13, 30%, Tier 2 detainees were in CIA custody, and that all 4, 4 out of 4, 100%, CIA detainees were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. On October 3, 2012, the CIA provided the committee with a document entitled Lessons for the Hunt for Bin Laden, completed in September 2012 by the CIA's Center for the Study of Intelligence. The CIA Lessons Learned document states, in sum, 25 detainees provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, his al-Qaeda membership, and his historic role as a courier for bin Laden. The CIA document then states that 16 of the 25 detainees who reported on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti were in CIA custody, and that of the 16 held in CIA custody, all but 13 had given information after being subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques, EITs, before noting that only 2, KSM and Abu Zubaydah, had been waterboarded. A review of CIA records found that these CIA documents contained inaccurate information and omitted important and material facts. The May 5, 2011 CIA chart represents that all 12 detainees, 12 out of 12, 100%, providing Tier 1 intelligence, information that linked Abu Ahmad to bin Laden, were detainees in CIA custody. A review of CIA records found that the CIA document omitted the fact that 5 of the 12 listed detainees, 5 out of 12, 41%, provided intelligence on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to entering CIA custody. In addition, other detainees not in CIA custody provided information that linked Abu Ahmad to bin Laden, but were not included in the CIA list. For example, the first detainee-related information identified in CIA records indicating a close relationship between UBL and Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was acquired in July 2002 from a detainee in the custody of a foreign government, Abu Zubair Ahaili Zubair. According to CIA records, Zubair provided a detailed physical description of Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, information on Abu Ahmad's family, his close association to KSM, and that Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden. This information would have been used to question other detainees, but was omitted in the CIA's detainee reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti chart. The May 5, 2011 CIA chart also states that 9 of the 12, 9 out of 12, 75% CIA detainees providing Tier 1 intelligence were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. A review of CIA records found that of the 9 detainees the CIA identified as having been subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and providing Tier 1 information on links between Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti and UBL, 5 of the 9, 5 out of 9, 55%, provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. This information was omitted from the CIA document. Of the remaining 4 detainees who did not provide information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti until after being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, 3 were not substantially questioned on any topic prior to the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation techniques. All 3 provided information the CIA assessed to be fabricated and intentionally misleading. The 4th, Abu Zubaydah, who was detained on March 28, 2002, and subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in August 2002 to include the waterboard technique, did not provide information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti until August 25, 2005, intelligence that was described by the CIA officers at the time as speculative. These relevant details were omitted from the CIA documents. The May 5, 2011 CIA chart also states that of the 13 detainees who provided general information on Abu Ahmad, labeled as Tier 2 information, 4 of the 13, 4 out of 13, 30%, detainees were in CIA custody, and that all 4, 4 out of 4, 100%, were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. A review of CIA records found that the CIA document omitted that 2 of the 4, 2 out of 4, 50%, CIA detainees who were described as subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques provided intelligence on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to entering CIA custody and therefore prior to being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Finally, there were additional detainees in foreign government custody who provided general information on Abu Ahmad that were not included in the list of 13 detainees. For example, in January 2002, the CIA received reporting from a detainee in the custody of a foreign government who provided a physical description of a Kuwaiti named Abu Ahmad who attended a terrorist training camp. The October 3, 2012 Lessons for the Hunt for Bin Laden document states that, in sum, 25 detainees provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, his al-Qaeda membership, and his historic role as a courier for bin Laden. This is incorrect. As described, additional detainees not in CIA custody provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, including 2002 reporting that al-Kuwaiti was one of a few close associates of Osama bin Laden. The October 3, 2012 Lessons for the Hunt for Bin Laden document also states that 16 of the 25, 16 out of 25, 65%, detainees who reported on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti were in CIA custody. This is incorrect. At least 7 of the 16 detainees, 7 out of 16, 45%, that the CIA listed as detainees in CIA custody provided reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to being transferred to CIA custody. The October 3, 2012 Lessons for the Hunt for Bin Laden document also states that of the 16 held in CIA custody, all but 3, 13, had given information after being subjected to Enhanced Interrogation Techniques, EITs. This is incorrect. 7 of the 13 detainees that the CIA listed as having been subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques provided information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti prior to being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Of the remaining 6 detainees who did not provide information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti until after being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, 5 were not substantially questioned on any topic prior to the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation techniques. Of the 5 detainees, 3 provided information the CIA assessed to be fabricated and intentionally misleading. The remaining 2 provided limited, non-unique, corroborative reporting. The 6th, Abu Zubaydah, who was detained on March 28, 2002 and subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques until August 2002, did not provide information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti until August 25, 2005. Intelligence that, as noted, was described by CIA officers at the time as speculative. The October 3, 2012 Lessons for the Hunt for Bin Laden document also states that only 2 detainees, KSM and Abu Zubaydah, had been waterboarded. Even so, KSM gave false information about Abu Ahmad. The CIA's May 5, 2011 chart reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti states that Abu Zubaydah and KSM provided Tier 1 intelligence that linked Abu Ahmad to bin Laden. CIA records indicate that both detainees denied any significant connection between al-Kuwaiti and UBL. CIA records further indicate that Abu Zubaydah and KSM, who were both subjected to the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique, withheld information on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti. Abu Zubaydah, Abu Ahmad K., and a phone number associated with Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti was found on page 8 of a 27-page address book captured with Abu Zubaydah on March 28, 2002. In July 2003, Abu Zubaydah stated he was not familiar with the name Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti or the description provided to him by CIA officers. In April 2004, Abu Zubaydah again stated that he did not recognize the name Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti.
Note, 2222. In addition to Abu Ahmad K. being included in Abu Zubaydah's address book, There was additional reporting indicating that Abu Zubaydah had some knowledge of Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti. For example, on October 12, 2004, another CIA detainee explained how he met al-Quwaiti at a guest house that was operated by Ibn Sheikh al-Libi and Abu Zubaydah in 1997.
According to a CIA cable, in August 2005, Abu Zubaydah provided information on an individual whose name he did not know, but who might be identifiable with Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti, a.k.a. Abu Ahmad al-Pakistani. According to the cable, Abu Zubaydah speculated that this individual knew UBL and al-Zawahiri, but did not think their relationship would be close. Days later, a CIA cable elaborated that Abu Zubaydah had speculated on a family of brothers from Karachi that may have included Abu Ahmad. KSM. When KSM was captured on March 1, 2003, an email address associated with Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti was found on a laptop believed to be used by KSM. As detailed in this review, KSM first acknowledged Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti in May 2003 after being confronted with reporting on Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti from a detainee who was not in CIA custody. KSM provided various reports on Abu Ahmad that the CIA described as pithy. In August 2005, KSM claimed that al-Quwaiti was not a courier and that he had never heard of Abu Ahmad transporting letters for UBL. In May 2007, the CIA reported that the denials of KSM and another detainee, combined with the conflicting reporting from other detainees, added to the CIA's belief that Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti was a significant figure. The CIA detainee who provided the most accurate Tier 1 information linking Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti to UBL, Hassan Ghul, provided the information prior to being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Hassan Ghul was captured on January, redacted 2004, by foreign authorities in the Iraqi Kurdistan region. Ghul was reportedly first interrogated by redacted, then transferred to U.S. military custody and questioned, and then rendered to CIA custody at detention site Cobalt on January, redacted 2004. From January, redacted 2004 to January, redacted 2004, Hassan Ghul was questioned by the CIA at detention site Cobalt. During this period, the CIA disseminated 21 intelligence reports based on Ghul's reporting. A CIA officer told the CIA Office of Inspector General that Hassan Ghul opened up right away and was cooperative from the outset. During the January redacted 24 to January redacted 24 sessions, Ghul was questioned on the location of UBL. According to a cable, Ghul speculated that UBL was likely living in Peshawar area and that it was well known that UBL was always with Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti. Ghul described Abu Ahmad al-Quwaiti as UBL's closest assistant and listed him as one of three individuals likely to be with UBL. Ghul further speculated that UBL's security apparatus would be minimal and that the group likely lived in a house with a family somewhere in Pakistan. Ghul commented that after UBL's bodyguard entourage was apprehended entering Pakistan following the fall of Afghanistan, UBL likely has maintained a small security signature of circa one or two persons. Ghul speculated that Abu Ahmad likely handled all of UBL's needs, including moving messages, out to Abu Faraj al-Libi. The next day, January, redacted 2004, Hassan Ghul was transferred to the CIA's detention site, Black. Upon arrival, Ghul was shaved and barbered, stripped, and placed in the standing position against the wall with his hands above his head for 40 minutes. The CIA interrogators at the detention site immediately requested permission to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Ghul, writing that, during the 40 minutes, Ghul did not provide any new information, did not show the fear that was typical of other recent captures, and, was somewhat arrogant and self-important. The CIA interrogators wrote that they judged that Gul has the expectation that in U.S. hands, his treatment will not be severe. The request to CIA headquarters to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques further stated, "The interrogation team believes, based on Hassan Gul's reaction to the initial contact, that his Al-Qaeda briefings and his earlier experiences with U.S. military interrogators have convinced him that there are limits to the physical contact interrogators can have with him. The interrogation team believes the approval and employment of enhanced measures should sufficiently shift Hassan Gul's paradigm of what he expects to happen. The lack of these increased measures may limit the team's capability to collect critical and reliable information in a timely manner." CIA headquarters approved the request the same day, stating that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques would increase base's capability to collect critical and reliable threat information in a timely manner. During and after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Gul provided no other information of substance on al-Kuwaiti. Hassan Gul was redacted, later released. Redacted. The fact that Hassan Gul provided the detailed information linking Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti to UBL prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was omitted from CIA documents and testimony. While CIA documents and testimony highlighted reporting that the CIA claimed was obtained from CIA detainees, and in some cases from CIA detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the CIA internally noted that reporting from CIA detainees, specifically detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, was insufficient, fabricated, and/or unreliable. A September 1, 2005 CIA report on the search for UBL states, "Bin Laden couriers, low-level couriers who wittingly or unwittingly facilitate communications between Bin Laden and his gatekeepers, remain largely invisible to us until a detainee reveals them. Even then, detainees provide few actionable leads, and we have to consider the possibility that they are creating fictitious characters to distract us or to absolve themselves of direct knowledge about Bin Laden. We nonetheless continue the hunt for Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti, an alleged courier between Bin Laden and KSM, and Abu Abd al-Khaliq John, whom Abu Faraj identified as his go-between with Bin Laden since mid-2003 in order to get one step closer to Bin Laden." A May 20, 2007 CIA targeting study for Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti states, "Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, described Abu Ahmad as a relatively minor figure, and Abu Faraj al-Libi denied all knowledge of Abu Ahmad. Station assesses that KSM and Abu Faraj's reporting is not credible on this topic, and their attempts to downplay Abu Ahmad's importance or deny knowledge of Abu Ahmad are likely part of an effort to withhold information on UBL or his close associates. These denials, combined with reporting from other detainees indicating that Abu Ahmad worked closely with KSM and Abu Faraj, add to our belief that Abu Ahmad is an HVT courier or facilitator." Additional CIA documents contrasted the lack of intelligence obtained from CIA detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques with the value of intelligence obtained from other sources. A November 23, 2007 CIA intelligence product, Al-Qaeda Watch, with the title "Probable Identification of Suspected Bin Laden Facilitator Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti," details how a review of 2002 debriefings of a foreign government detainee who claimed to have traveled in 2000 from Kuwait to Afghanistan with an Ahmad al-Kuwaiti provided the breakthrough leading to the likely identification of Habib al-Rahman and Abu Ahmad. The foreign government subsequently informed the CIA that Habib al-Rahman currently is living in Pakistan, probably in the greater Peshawar area, according to our analysis of a body of reporting. This CIA intelligence product highlighted how reporting from Abu Faraj al-Libi who was subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and denied knowing Abu Ahmad, differed from that of Hassan Gul, who, prior to the application of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, stated that bin Laden was always with Abu Ahmad and that Abu Ahmad had delivered a message to senior al-Qaeda leaders in late 2003, probably through Abu Faraj. The document further states that KSM has consistently maintained that Abu Ahmad retired from al-Qaeda work in 2002. The CIA document states that the CIA will be working with, redacted, and the redacted government, as well as utilizing a database of, redacted, to follow up on an individual traveling within Pakistan with a similar name and date of birth. CIA cable records from early 2008 highlight how the discovery and exploitation of phone numbers associated with al-Kuwaiti, redacted, had been critical in collecting intelligence and locating the target, and state debriefings of the senior-most detainees who were involved in caring for bin Laden have provided little locational information. And it is the final nugget that detainees hold on to in briefings over threat info and even Zawahiri location intelligence, given their loyalty to the al-Qaeda leader. We assess that Abu Ahmad would likely be in the same category as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Abu Faraj al-Libi, so we advocate building as much of a targeting picture of where and when Habib Abu Ahmad travels to flesh out current leads to bin Laden. On May 1, 2008, a CIA headquarters cable entitled Targeting Efforts Against Suspected UBL Facilitator Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti documents that the CIA had a number of collection platforms established to collect intelligence on Abu Ahmad al-Kuwaiti in order to locate UBL. The cable closes by stating, "Although we want to refrain from addressing endgame strategies, HQS judges that detaining Habib should be a last resort, since we have had no success in eliciting actionable intelligence on bin Laden's location from any detainees." While the aforementioned CIA assessments highlight the unreliability of reporting from senior al-Qaeda leaders in CIA custody, specifically that KSM and Abu Faraj's reporting was assessed to be not credible, and that their denials added to the CIA's belief that Abu Ahmad is an HVT courier or facilitator, the CIA assessments also highlight that reporting from other detainees indicating that Abu Ahmad worked closely with KSM and Abu Faraj was useful. As documented, the initial detainee-related information linking Abu Ahmad to UBL and KSM did not come from CIA detainees, but from detainees who were not in CIA custody.
4. Overview of CIA presentations to the media while the program was classified. A. The CIA provides information on the still-classified detention and interrogation program to journalists who then publish classified information. CIA does not file crimes reports in connection with the stories. In seeking to shape press reporting on the CIA's detention and interrogation program, CIA officers and the CIA's Office of Public Affairs, OPA, provided unattributed background information on the program to journalists for books, articles, and broadcasts, including when the existence of the CIA's detention and interrogation program was still classified. When the journalists to whom the CIA had provided background information published classified information, the CIA did not, as a matter of policy, submit crimes reports. For example, as described in internal emails, the CIA's redacted never opened an investigation related to Ronald Kessler's book, The CIA at War, despite the inclusion of classified information because the book contained no first-time disclosures and because OPA provided assistance with the book. Senior Deputy General Counsel John Rizzo wrote that the CIA made the determination because the CIA's cooperation with Kessler had been blessed by the CIA director. In another example, CIA officers and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence raised concerns that an article by Douglas Yale in the New York Times contained significant classified information. Redacted, CTC Legal, wrote in an email that part of this article was based on background provided by OPA that essentially negates any use in making an unauthorized disclosure report. Both the Kessler book and the Yale article included inaccurate claims about the effectiveness of CIA interrogations, much of it consistent with the inaccurate information being provided by the CIA to policymakers at the time. For example, Kessler's book stated that the FBI arrest of Ayman Faris was based on information from the CIA's interrogation of KSM, and that the arrest of Khalad bin Attash was the result of CIA interrogations of KSM. The Yale article stated that a secret program to transfer suspected terrorists to foreign countries for interrogation has been carried out by the Central Intelligence Agency, according to current and former government officials. The article stated that a senior United States official had provided a detailed description of the program and quoted the official as claiming that the intelligence obtained by those rendered, detained, and interrogated had disrupted terrorist operations. The senior official added, "It has saved lives in the United States and abroad, and it has resulted in the capture of other terrorists." B. Senior CIA officials discuss need to put out our story to shape public and congressional opinion prior to the full committee being briefed. In early April 2005, redacted, Chief of Alex Station asked CTC officers to compile information on the success of the CIA's detention and interrogation program in preparation for interviews of CIA officers by Tom Brokaw of NBC News. As redacted remarked in a same-time communication with Deputy CTC Director Philip Mudd, during World War II, the Pentagon had an Office of War Information, OWI, whereas the CIA's predecessor, the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, did not. Redacted then noted that, "We need an OWI, at least every now and then." According to Mudd, concerns within the CIA about defending the CIA's detention and interrogation program in the press were misplaced. "Maybe people should know we're trying to sell their program. If they complain, they should know that we're trying to protect our capability to continue. We're not just out there to brag. They don't realize that we have few options here. We either get out and sell or we get hammered, which has implications beyond the media. Congress reads it, cuts our authorities, messes up our budget. We need to make sure the impression of what we do is positive. We must be more aggressive out there. We either put out our story or we get eaten. There is no middle ground." Mudd counseled not to advertise the discussions between CIA personnel and the media with the CIA workforce because they'd misread it. After redacted promised to keep the media outreach in a real close hold, Mudd wrote, "Most of them, CIA personnel, do not know that when the Washington Post or New York Times quotes senior intel official, it's us, authorized and directed by OPA. Redacted sent a draft compilation of plot disruptions to Redacted's CTC Legal to determine whether the release of the information would pose any legal problems. According to CIA attorneys, information on Issa al-Britani posed no problems because it was sourced to the 9/11 Commission. They also determined that information about Ayman Faris and Sajid Badat that was sourced to press stories posed no legal problems because Faris had already pled guilty and Badat was not being prosecuted in the United States. On April 15, 2005, a CIA officer expressed concerns in an email to several CIA attorneys about the CIA releasing classified information to the media. There are no CIA records indicating a response to the CIA officer's email. That day, April 15, 2005, the National Security Council Principals Committee discussed a public campaign for the CIA's detention and interrogation program. After the meeting, Alex Station personnel informed Redacted, CTC Legal, that scheduled interviews with NBC News of Director Porter Goss and Deputy CTC Director Philip Mudd should not proceed so that we don't get ahead of ourselves.
Note, 2271. The CIA's June 2013 response states that, with regard to information related to covert action, authorization to disclose information to the media rests with the White House. CIA records made available to the committee, however, do not indicate White House approval for the subsequent media disclosures. In the summer of 2013, the committee requested the CIA provide any such records should they exist. No records were identified by the CIA.
On June 24, 2005, however, Dateline NBC aired a program that included on-the-record quotes from Goss and Mudd, as well as quotes from top American intelligence officials. The program and Dateline NBC's associated online articles included classified information about the capture and interrogation of CIA detainees and quoted senior U.S. intelligence analysts, stating that intelligence obtained from CIA interrogations approaches or surpasses any other intelligence on the subject of Al-Qaeda and the construction of the network. The Dateline NBC articles stated that Al-Qaeda leaders suddenly found themselves bundled onto a CIA Gulfstream 5 or Boeing 737 jet headed for long months of interrogation, and indicated that Abu Zubaydah, KSM, Ramzi bin al-Shiba, and Abu Faraj al-Libi were picked up and bundled off to interrogation centers. The articles also stated that the capture of bin al-Shiba led to the captures of KSM and Khalad bin Attash. This information was inaccurate. There are no CIA records to indicate that there was any investigation or crimes report submitted in connection with the Dateline NBC program and its associated reporting. C. CIA attorneys caution that classified information provided to the media should not be attributed to the CIA. After the April 15, 2005 National Security Council Principals Committee meeting, the CIA drafted an extensive document describing the CIA's detention and interrogation program for an anticipated media campaign. CIA attorneys discussing aspects of the campaign involving off-the-record disclosures cautioned against attributing the information to the CIA itself. One senior attorney stated that the proposed press briefing was minimally acceptable, but only if not attributed to a CIA official. The CIA attorney continued, "This should be attributed to an official knowledgeable about the program or some similar obfuscation, but should not be attributed to a CIA or intelligence official." Referring to CIA efforts to deny Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, requests for previously acknowledged information, the attorney noted that our Glomar fig leaf is getting pretty thin. Another CIA attorney noted that the draft makes the legal declaration I just wrote about the secrecy of the interrogation program a work of fiction. Redacted CTC Legal urged that CIA leadership needed to confront the inconsistency between CIA court declarations about how critical it is to keep this information secret and the CIA planning to reveal darn near the entire program. D. The CIA engages with journalists and conveys an inaccurate account of the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. In late 2005, the CIA decided to cooperate again with Douglas Yale of the New York Times, despite his intention to publish information about the program. A CIA officer wrote about Yale's proposed article, which was largely about the CIA's detention and interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. "This is not necessarily an unflattering story," Yale, who provided the CIA with a detailed outline of his proposed story, informed the CIA that he would emphasize that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques worked, that they were approved through an interagency process, and that the CIA went to great lengths to ensure that the interrogation program was authorized by the White House and the Department of Justice. CIA records indicate that the CIA decided not to dissuade Yale from describing the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques because, as redacted CTC Legal, redacted noted, the EITs have already been out there. The CIA's chief of ALEC station, redacted, who wondered whether cooperation with Yale would be undercutting our complaint against those leakers, nonetheless suggested informing Yale of other examples of CIA detainee exploitation success. While the New York Times did not publish Yale's story, on September 7, 2006, the day after President Bush publicly acknowledged the program, David Johnston of the New York Times called the CIA's OPA with a proposed news story about the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. In an email with the subject line, "We can't let this go unanswered," the CIA's Director of Public Affairs and OPA, Mark Mansfield, described Johnston's proposed narrative as bullshit and biased toward the FBI, adding that we need to push back. While it is unclear if Mansfield responded to Johnston's proposed story, Mansfield later wrote in an email that there was no need to worry. On September 10, 2006, the New York Times published an article by Johnston entitled "At a Secret Interrogation, Dispute Flared Over Tactics" that described sharply contrasting accounts of the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. The article, cited officials more closely allied with law enforcement, who stated that Abu Zubaydah cooperated with FBI, interviewers, as well as officials closely tied to intelligence agencies, who stated that Abu Zubaydah was lying and things were going nowhere, and that it was clear that he had information about an imminent attack and time was of the essence. The article included the frequent CIA representation that, after the use of tougher tactics, Abu Zubaydah soon began to provide information on key al-Qaeda operators to help us find and capture those responsible for the 9/11 attacks. This characterization of Abu Zubaydah's interrogation is incongruent with CIA interrogation records. CTC stated that the article resulted in questions to the CIA from the country, redacted, and assessed that disclosures of this nature could adversely have an impact on future joint CT operations with redacted partners. There are no indications that the CIA filed a crimes report in connection with the article.
Note, 2288. Senior Deputy General Counsel John Rizzo urged that his colleagues determine whether OPA cooperated with the article, quote, before we get DOJ or FBI too cranked up on this.
In early 2007, the CIA cooperated with Ronald Kessler again on another book. According to CIA records, the purpose of the cooperation was to push back on Kessler's proposed accounts of intelligence related to the attacks of September 11, 2001, and the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, which a CIA officer noted give undue credit to the FBI for CIA accomplishments. After another CIA officer drafted information for passage to Kessler, redacted CTC Legal, redacted wrote, "Of course, being the lawyer, I would recommend not telling Kessler anything." Redacted then wrote that if, for policy reasons, the CIA decided to cooperate with the author, there was certain information that should not be disclosed. Redacted then suggested that, if we are going to do this, the CIA could provide information to Kessler that would undercut the FBI agents, who, redacted stated, had leaked that they would have gotten everything anyway from Abu Zubaydah. After Kessler provided a draft of his book to the CIA and met with CIA officers, the CIA's Director of Public Affairs, Mark Mansfield, described what he viewed as the problems in Kessler's narrative. According to Mansfield, Kessler was vastly overstating the FBI's role in thwarting terrorism and, frankly, giving other U.S. government agencies, including CIA, short shrift. Moreover, the draft also didn't reflect the enormously valuable intelligence the U.S. government gleaned from CIA's interrogation program, and had unnamed FBI officers questioning our methods and claiming their own way of eliciting information is much more effective. According to Mansfield, the CIA made some headway in its meeting with Kessler and that, as a result of the CIA's intervention, his book would be more balanced than it would have been. Later, in an email to Mansfield, Kessler provided the substantive changes he had made to his draft following his meeting with CIA officials. The changes included the statement that Abu Zubaydah was subjected to coercive interrogation techniques after he stopped cooperating. Kessler's revised text further stated that the CIA could point to a string of successes and dozens of plots that were rolled up because of coercive interrogation techniques. The statements in the revised text on the successes attributable to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were similar to CIA representations to policymakers and were incongruent with CIA records.
Note, 2294. Kessler's changes repeated the representation made in the president's September 6, 2006 speech, which was based on CIA information and vetted by the CIA, that Abu Zubaydah and Ramzi Ben al-Shib provided information that would help in the planning and execution of the operation that captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. With regard to the second wave plotting, Kessler stated that if it had not been for coercive interrogation techniques used on Abu Zubaydah, CIA officials suggest, the second wave of attacks might have occurred and KSM could be free and planning more attacks. As detailed in this summary and in greater detail in volumes 2 and 3, the thwarting of the second wave plotting and the capture of KSM were unrelated to reporting from Abu Zubaydah. Kessler's changes also included statements about the training and expertise of CIA interrogators, the Department of Justice review of the CIA's interrogation techniques, and congressional oversight of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. For example, Kessler wrote, "Before confronting a terrorist, each interrogator was given 250 hours of specialized training." This statement is incongruent with the history of the CIA program.
Kessler's substantive changes made after his meeting with CIA officials included the statement that many members of Congress and members of the media have made careers for themselves by belittling and undercutting the efforts of the heroic men and women who are trying to protect us. Kessler's revised text contended that, without winning the war being waged by the media against our own government, we are going to lose the war on terror because the tools that are needed will be taken away by a Congress swayed by a misinformed public and by other countries unwilling to cooperate with the CIA or FBI because they fear mindless exposure by the press. Finally, Kessler's changes, made after his meeting with CIA officers, included the statement that too many Americans are intent on demonizing those who are trying to protect us.
5. Review of CIA representations to the Department of Justice. A. August 1, 2002 OLC memorandum relies on inaccurate information regarding Abu Zubaydah. The Office of Legal Counsel, OLC, in the Department of Justice wrote several legal memoranda and letters on the legality of the CIA's detention and interrogation program between 2002 and 2007. The OLC requested and relied on information provided by the CIA to conduct the legal analysis included in these memoranda and letters. Much of the information the CIA provided to the OLC was inaccurate in material respects. On August 1, 2002, the OLC issued a memorandum advising that the use of the CIA's advanced interrogation techniques against Abu Zubaydah would not violate prohibitions against torture found in Section 2340A of Title 18 of the United States Code. The techniques were 1. Attention grasp, 2. Walling, 3. Facial hold, 4. Facial slap, insult slap, 5. Cramped confinement, 6. Wall standing, 7. Stress positions, 8. Sleep deprivation, 9. Insects placed in a confinement box, and 10. The waterboard. The memorandum relied on CIA representations about Abu Zubaydah's status in Al-Qaeda, his role in Al-Qaeda plots, his expertise in interrogation resistance training, and his withholding of information on pending terrorist attacks. The OLC memorandum included the following statement about OLC's reliance on information provided by the CIA. Our advice is based upon the following facts, which you have provided to us. We also understand that you do not have any facts in your possession contrary to the facts outlined here, and this opinion is limited to these facts. If these facts were to change, this advice would not necessarily apply. The facts provided by the CIA and relied on by the OLC to support its legal analysis were cited in the August 1, 2002 memorandum, and many were repeated in subsequent OLC memoranda on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Much of the information provided by the CIA to the OLC was unsupported by CIA records. Examples include Abu Zubaydah's status in Al-Qaeda. The OLC memorandum